Thanks, Donna. I want to start by reading the story of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 2, starting verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Well, this was the greatest event in human history, and yet it's captured in a very simple story. There was a census being taken of that part of the Roman Empire for tax purposes, and so Joseph and Mary were forced to go to Bethlehem to register. They were not there by their own choice. And I want you to notice something in verse 6. It says that while they were there in Bethlehem going about their business, the time came for the baby to be born. You know, we read right by that phrase, the time came. But have you noticed that God works in your life at just the right time? We've been talking the last couple weeks about the seasons of our lives. And when God starts to do something in your life, he does it at just the right time. Though you may not always feel like it's the right time. You may not always feel like you're ready for it. Just like Mary and Joseph were not ready for this. They didn't have a sonogram. They didn't know the due date. They weren't near any family who would help at the birth. They didn't know that it was the right time that God had arranged. They were just going about their business, doing what they had to do, and the time came. And I wanted to tell you that I believe that for many of you here this morning, the time has come for God to do something great in your life. The time has come, and you may not feel totally prepared for it. In fact, we never feel totally prepared. But even though you might not have everything in your life together, what I love about God is that when it's time, it's time. And when it's time, nothing can stop God from doing what he wants to do. When it's God's time, it's the right time. And I believe that right now, it's time for joy and peace and love and grace to burst forth in your life. How many of you would like to see that in your life? How many would you like to see that this Christmas be a time of new things happening, restoration and redemption, new things coming in your life? Let me tell you, it's time. It's time. I want you to finish a sentence in your mind. If I could change one thing about myself, it would be blank. You fill in the blank. In fact, if you have somebody that you came with this morning, why don't you turn to them and tell them the answer to this question. If I could change one... Now, notice I didn't say if I could change one thing about you. Do not answer that question to the person you came with, or else there will be fights starting all over the auditorium, and it'll ruin your Christmas, and I'll get hate emails. But if I could change one thing about myself, it would be blank. You know, when I ask that question of myself, I have a long list of things that I could answer and that I'd like to change. I have a hard time choosing just one. But the reason that I ask that question is because the Christmas story is all about change. And as we all know, change is not created equal. You know, for example, there's good change and there's bad change. Some change is a mixture of both good and bad. And of course, some change is just all good. In fact, let me give you an example of a good change. I'm going to play a noise, and I want you to know if you can recognize what this is. Some of you will recognize it. Go ahead and play the noise. The young people here probably have no clue what that is. What is it? A dial-up modem. You know, that's what we used to have to go through to get on the internet, you know, and we'd have to ask Mom, hey, Mom, can I get on the internet for 30 minutes? And of course, while I'm on, nobody's going to be able to call our house, and it's going to be busy if they do. But, you know, I want to get on. And how many of you remember getting that free AOL CD in the mail with 40 minutes of pre-internet time. I mean, 40 minutes of internet time. It was like a big deal. You know, now we use that in you know, every 40 minutes. And how many of you had like a screen name on Instant Messenger back in the day? You know, like something that you could repeat in church? You know, how many of you would agree that Wi-Fi is a good change? Yes, amen. So there's bad and good change. And there's change that seems to be bad at the time you're going through it. But then when you look back on it afterwards, you realize that it was one of the most valuable experiences of your life because you learned and grew through it. So there's bad and good change. Some change is easy and some is hard. For example, if we take having a baby, which is the Christmas story, is that hard or easy change? Well, you know, it kind of depends on which partner you are and what part of the process you're going through. You know, like men say, well, we're having a baby. You know, you're not doing anything except driving the car when she tells you to. You know, your part is easy. But if we're talking about the process of raising the kids, then it gets a little harder for both parents. Some change is voluntary, and you get to choose. Other change, you don't get a vote on. It's unexpected and unwelcome. I've always thought it'd be a whole lot easier to embrace change if, you know, the change would just like let me know well in advance that it's coming and so I could prepare for it. But that doesn't happen most of the time, does it? Now, sometimes you know it's coming. Sometimes, like when you get married, you know that's going to be a new season and it's going to require some changes. Or when you start a new job, it's a new season, it'll require some changes. But the problem is that we have many changes in our life that don't happen chronologically or predictably. Not only are many of us in different seasons of our lives right now, but all of us are experiencing several different seasons at the same time. You may be in a season of blessing and increase at work, but at home your relationships stink. You know, or maybe your marriage is going great, but you're afraid that you're going to get laid off any day. Or maybe things are going well at home, but you're going to the nursing home several times a week to see one of your parents who is dying. We're all in different seasons, and we experience several seasons at the same time, and sometimes you're facing changes in several seasons at once. And the one thing I've noticed is that most of us are much more excited about changing our situation than we are changing ourselves. Have you noticed that? You know, we get all caught up in things that we want to change around us, right? But the greatest change that God wants to make is within us. And that's the change of Christmas. So let's go back to a little bit before Jesus was born and read what the angel said to both Joseph and Mary to announce to them that this change was coming. Can you imagine the change for these two teenagers raising the Son of God, giving birth to the hope of the world? And they did not choose this change, but this change would change the world for all time. And as we look at their lives this morning, I want you to think about four changes we're going to talk about that God may want to make in your life this Christmas. So let's start with Joseph. He was the one who had to explain to all his friends that my girlfriend is pregnant, but I didn't do it. You know, it was God. Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, everybody in the family is thinking, yeah, right, yeah, it's God, sure. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You see, for God to change your life, first, he has to change your mind. Because Joseph already had his mind made up on how he's going to handle this situation. He was going to divorce her. Now, he's going to do it quietly so he didn't publicly disgrace her, but he had it all planned out in his mind. But then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So there was something that Joseph had to accept. He had to accept a change in his life that he didn't fully understand and that he couldn't control. I wonder, is there something that God wants you to accept this Christmas? Something that you don't fully understand? Something that you can't control? One of the hardest changes in the world is to change your mind about something that you can't control. It's a lot easier when it's something that we plan or we're in charge of, but it's tough to accept a change that we don't get a vote on. And so Joseph has to accept what God did here. I wonder, does God want you to accept something this Christmas season? Maybe to accept a challenge that you're facing that just doesn't seem fair. Or to accept a phase of your life that you're in that's a lot harder than you expected. Or maybe a limitation in your life that isn't going to go away. Or a disability that you're dealing with that other people don't have to deal with, but you do. Or to accept an empty seat at the table of somebody that you loved, but who is now lost. It's difficult to accept a change when you don't get to affect the change. And one of the hardest things in the world is to accept what God allows. But ultimately, you've got to look at your situation and say, God, I didn't ask for this, but I can't change it. And so I'm accepting what you've allowed, God. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I believe that you know what you're doing, even when I don't understand it. And so, God, this Christmas, I'm going to accept what you have allowed in my life. I'm going to believe that you're working in all things, even the things that I know you didn't cause. I'm going to accept them and trust you. But Joseph not only had to accept something, he also had to obey something. It was one thing for the angel to say, well, don't be afraid, but now Joseph has to make a decision to obey and not divorce his wife. In verse 21, the angel goes on, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Aren't you glad that God is not only above us, but he's also with us? He's above us so that he can control what concerns us. But he's with us so that he can comfort us, whatever we're going through. And in verse 24 goes on, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Ridicule and all, shame and all, questions and all. I wonder, is God calling you this Christmas to obey something that you don't understand? I wonder, is he calling you to give up something that's hurting you? I wonder, is he calling you to pick up something that you put down somewhere along the line because you were tired? I wonder, is God calling you to offer an apology to somebody that maybe hasn't even asked for it? Or is God calling you to reconcile with somebody who's been making you bitter for years? Or is God calling you to act on what he has spoken to you? The good news from God is you don't have to understand completely to obey fully. You don't have to know how it's all going to work out. All you got to do is do what Joseph did. Look back on what God is saying to you and say, let's do this. God, I don't know where this is going. I don't know exactly what your plan or purpose is, but let's do this. I'm going to follow through on what you started in my life. I believe you know everything. I believe you can do all things, so let's do this. I was driving through the Home Depot parking lot this week, and I saw this big sign that says, let's do this. You know, and I was thinking, you know, I know it's for home projects that they're talking about, but I believe that's God's message to us this week at Christmas. Let's do this. Let's obey what God is speaking. Let's not make ourselves miserable by disobeying his voice. Let's do this. Often what seems to be an interruption turns out to be one of the greatest invitations to experience God in the greatest way. That was true for Joseph, and he decided, let's do this. Let's accept and obey. But we all know that Joseph's ankles didn't swell and his belly didn't grow. The real hero of the story is Mary. In Luke 1:28, it says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Now think about this. If an angel showed up to you and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored by God and God is with you," would you be happy or sad? I would be really happy. I mean, you would probably be jumping up and down and say, "Whoa, you know, God, you know, I'm highly favored by God. He's with me. You know, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. You know, I'm going to go ask my boss for a raise and a promotion. You know, I'm favored by God. That's great." But Mary doesn't react that way. It says Mary was greatly troubled at his words. You see, Mary knew that when God shows up in your life, he is often going to change something, and change is often uncomfortable. In verse 30, it says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.'" The angel says, "Mary, you've got to birth something. Joseph had to accept and obey something. You have to birth something." And I wonder, is there something that God wants you to birth this Christmas? There's something that God has put in you and it's ready to come out. Maybe a dream that God has given you. Or maybe a vision that God has put inside you, or a calling that he's placed on your life. Maybe it's something that you forgot about, or something that you can't even fully see. Maybe there's a ministry that God put inside of you so that you'll be able to help others because of the bad things that happened to you. Or maybe there's something inside of you right now that seems so small. It's just a gift or a talent or ability or an idea or a business or even a new habit that God wants to birth in your life or in your family. This just might be the Christmas that you decide to push and give birth to something that God himself planted inside of you. And we sometimes think that, you know, when God is doing something in our life, it's just going to happen. Well, the Christmas story shows us that God will put it inside of you, but when it comes time to give birth, you've got to push. And it's time this Christmas for you to push through confusion, for you to push through addictions, for you to push through abuse, because there is a change that God wants to make. There's a new beginning God wants to birth, and it's time for you to push. It's time for you to bring forth what God has created you for. But it all begins with something that God wants you to believe. If you're going to accept it and obey it and birth it first, you must believe it. Look at verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And there's some of you here this Christmas that you want to believe that God wants to do something in your life, but it's really hard for you to believe because of who you are or what you've done. And maybe this Christmas, the change that God wants to make inside of you begins with something that you believe. The angel told Mary, "You don't need to worry about how it's all going to work out. You just need to know who it is that's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." In other words, it's not about you, Mary. It's about who chose you. Maybe God is calling you this Christmas simply to believe that he exists. Even though you can't see him, even though much of the time you don't feel him or you haven't heard his audible voice, he's been there your whole life. And you simply need to believe in him. Or maybe you need to believe that God could love someone like you. It's great to say God so loved the world that he sent his only son, but until you believe that God loves you and you make it personal and you say, you know, he loves me just like I am. He loves me with every hang-up, with all the doubts and the misgivings. So I'm going to choose this Christmas to believe what I can't see, that he loves me. I can't see it, but I believe it. Maybe he's calling you this Christmas to believe that even with all the relationships or with all the sex that you've had, even after everything you've put in your body, even after all the opportunities that you've lost, even after all the things that you think in your mind on a daily basis, he invites you to come just like you are. He invites you to believe and birth and obey and accept. And again, I wonder what God wants to do in your life this Christmas. You should know that All change creates pain. All the mothers in here would say amen to that. When you're bringing forth change, it's painful. But what we learn from the Christmas story is that you can embrace the change, even through the pain, when you know the purpose. It's hard for any of us to go through pain when we don't see a purpose for it. Maybe that's why the angel spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, it's going to be difficult. I know you don't understand what you can't see clearly, but there's a purpose for this. You see, Mary is going to give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. There's a purpose for this, Joseph, and you can embrace the pain of the change when you know the purpose of the change. When I was in college, I rode on the crew team. I started as a sophomore, so I was way behind everybody else. I'd never rode before, but I improved pretty quickly, and you start in the fall. That's the preparation season. You do a little racing, but the main season is the spring. And by the spring, I actually made it into the varsity boat and actually earned a varsity letter my first year as a sophomore. Well, I came back in the fall, my next year, junior year, and I was even better. I was in the varsity boat again. I was in the two-seat row there, and I had that seat locked up. That was mine. Over Christmas break, I went home with my roommate for a few days, and we went tobogganing. And we're halfway down a hill, the two of us and two girls on the toboggan, and it flipped over in midair, and the two girls fell on top of me and simultaneously wrenched my hip, my knee, and my ankle all at once. I was in pain for weeks. Came back to the Naval Academy and, to crew practice again. And I couldn't run for another two, 3 weeks. Couldn't train with them. But finally, I healed up. And I just expected that I was going to pick up right where I left off. But to my great dismay, I had lost a lot of strength while I was out. And I'd gotten way behind some of my teammates. And to make a long story short, I didn't make the varsity boat that spring. And I was heartbroken. Somebody else took my two seat from me. You know, I felt like I had lost what was mine. This accident came along and out of nowhere, and someone else stole my seat and took what belonged to me. And so I made a decision that spring. I was going to get that back. No matter what it took, no matter how hard I had to work, whatever it cost me, I was going to get it back. Now, it didn't happen right away. I didn't get it back that spring. But when I got to the summer and had some time off, I trained like I had never trained before. I was running and weightlifting. I weightlifted 3 times a week really hard. And, I put several inches on my arms and chest that summer. And I know you can't even imagine it now, but I was actually ripped at one point. I was working hard. It was a lot of hard, long, painful work. But I came back to crew practice in the fall, and people looked at me, and it was so obvious. They said, Ken, what have you been doing all summer? And long story short, I got my seat back. Now, what's the point of the story? You see, I had to train. I had to endure some pain because I wanted to get back what I had lost. And when you realize that you have lost something that God wants you to get back, all of a sudden, you can embrace the pain of what you're going through because you got to get something back that you lost, something back that belongs to you. And the angel tells Joseph, name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. In other words, he came so that you can get back what you lost. You can get back what rightfully belongs to you. You can be part of the family of God. You can be an heir of Christ with all the riches of his blessings. You can get back what belongs to you. And I believe there's somebody here today, and you're about to get your joy back. You're about to get your sense of peace back. You're about to get your sense of purpose back. And, you're about to get your mind back. Maybe you need to get your children back, whatever it is. And it might hurt a little bit. It might be uncomfortable, but you've got to get back what belongs to you. Jesus died to give it to you. Reclaim it. Get it back. There's a purpose in the pain. You see, Joseph needed a purpose, but Mary needed a promise. She asks, how can this be since I'm a virgin? the angel says to her, basically, don't worry about it, Mary. Why? Then he makes one of the greatest statements in the whole Bible. In verse 37, the angel says, Mary, I want you to know this, for no word of God will ever fail. Ever. Ever fail. You see, you can embrace any change that life brings your way when your life is rooted in something that will never, ever change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. How do I push through the pain and embrace the change? Because I'm rooted in the one who will never change. And the leaves may fall off the tree when it gets cold out, but the roots are planted deep. And if you're rooted in Jesus Christ, then you can embrace any change that the world brings your way, no matter how cold out it gets, because you have a God who will never change and cannot fail. And if I stay rooted in Him, I will bear fruit. I will succeed. I will prosper. I will overcome. My life will have purpose. I will make a difference. I will leave a legacy because I serve a God who never changes and cannot fail, and He will never stop loving me, and He will never leave me. In fact, if you want to know how He proved His love for you that lasts forever, when He was born, He was so helpless that they had to lay Him in the manger. But after 33 perfect years, He was so strong that He carried His own cross. He was born with His back on the wood of the manger. He died with His back on a wooden cross, suffering for you and me. You don't think He loves you? You don't think He has a plan for your life? The cross proves once and for all His amazing love for you and me. The cross shows that before time even began, He had a plan to redeem me. Before I ever blew it the first time, before I ever wandered away, He already had a plan to bring me back. And when the changes of life get painful, I can cling to the cross, because He has a plan. When Jesus was laid in that manger, they wrapped Him in old linen clothes or swaddling cloths. And after He died, His body was again wrapped in linen cloths. But then He rose from the dead, and Peter ran to the tomb and found the strips of linen folded and laying in the tomb. Why does that matter? The circumstances of Jesus' birth were already anticipating His death and resurrection, because no word of God will ever fail. His plan always prevails. And we sometimes sing a song that has the words, "Ain't no grave gonna hold me down." Well, ain't no grave could hold Jesus down, and ain't no grave can hold us down if we give our life to Jesus. And that's why this Christmas season, God wants to change you from the inside out. God loves you just like you are, but He loves you way too much to leave you that way. And the greatest change that God ever makes in our life is when Christ is born in our heart, when someone who is far away comes home to Him. And you know, there's people who live good moral lives who are far away from God. There's people who are raised in church who live far away from God. There's people who try their best to do what's good, who are far away from God. But God's offer is to all of us. Whoever comes to Him will be changed, a new creation. Why wouldn't you let God change your life and your heart and your destiny this Christmas? Some of you have held back from making a decision to follow God. Maybe you know some people who are so-called Christians, but they're unloving and narrow-minded, and you don't want to be anything like that. Let me assure you that if you allow God to change your life, you will never regret it, and you have nothing to fear, because God made you and knows you and loves you, and He has a plan and a purpose and a promise for your life. And I realize when it comes to commitments like this that it's so easy to say, well, yeah, someday I need to do that. Someday I need to follow Christ and put Him first and get into His will for my life. Someday I'll do that. But you don't know if you'll have another day. None of us know that. We're not promised tomorrow. And you don't know if God will ever speak to you like this again. You don't know when you'll get this chance again. Maybe you've tried changing yourself before, or you've tried to make a decision to follow God before, you just didn't feel like it worked, God has already paid the price for the changes in our life. Maybe this time, instead of you trying to make the change yourself, maybe you just need to embrace the change that God offers. Instead of you trying to be a better person on your own power, you need to receive the grace of God that only He can give through Jesus. So let's stand together for prayer. And I'd like our worship band to come up. And let's bow together. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this morning, if you were thinking, yes, God, I'm far off from you. And I want to come home. I want you to change me. Or maybe you've just been far away for a long time and you feel like you want to come back. But you want to receive that free gift of grace this Christmas, then I want to encourage you to pray with me. In fact, I'm going to ask all of us to pray along. You can pray aloud after me. And whether you're already connected with God or maybe you're coming back there for a long time or maybe it's the first time for you. But will you pray this together as we bow together and just pray after me? Heavenly Father, I receive the change that you're bringing into my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. I believe that He died on a cross so I could be forgiven. I believe He rose from the grave so I could have new life. I ask you to change me. I turn from my sin. I give you my heart. Make me a brand new person. In Jesus' name. Now, as we continue to bow together, no one looking around, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, or maybe you're coming back after a long time away, then I want you to just quickly raise your hand right now so I can pray for you. This is your declaration that, yes, God, you belong to Him. You embrace the change. All right? Let me pray for you now. God, I pray for these people who have raised their hands, who are now yours, who have given their lives to you. And we ask that you'll bless their lives, that you'll bring new peace and new joy into their lives like they've never felt before, that they'll feel your presence today, and that you'll give them the power to continue to live for you tomorrow. Guide them, fill them, and empower them, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.